Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, yes! Free! Oh, I feel alive! And how do you feel, my friend? Oh, what have we here? Perhaps the pages you worked so hard for? Whoops!
Oh, my. I would take it that was not from a commercial?
Nope. There were no ads. Hey, everybody, and welcome to your number one missed opportunity today on Play Retro. That's right. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your co-hosts, Scott Johnson, and this place is weird. Do I click on the guy's face that's yelling at me through behind that door? No? Fine.
Red page.
I'm off to find the rocket ship.
Oh, good plan. I like the rocket ship. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think these brothers are locked up on this island for a reason. And perhaps I should just mind my own. Hey, is that a button? Clickety click, click, click. Oh, and a lever. What does this do? Oh, I just realized this moment I pushed the button that the game would not destroy as I had planned. Oh, no. I wanted to destroy the game.
That's too bad. It sounds like you had a hard time and missed. That's okay. Maybe you spelled it wrong. Maybe you got MIST instead of,
Oh, darn. Is that the problem? I knew I shouldn't have went to Kmart in 1992 to get this because it didn't exist then.
That's right. It didn't exist at all. It existed in 1993. And we're going to talk about Myst and its sequels here today on the show. Before we get to any of that, though, my dog chewed up my arch rival's cartridge on the Game Gear.
Son of a dog.
Yep. My wife and daughter are out of town. They're in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm here.
So you couldn't blame them. They didn't chew it up, right?
Well, the problem is, here's how I blame them. My daughter's dog, Ripley, great big freaking Weimaraner dog. Okay, she's a big old freaking hunting dog.
Yeah.
She likes to chew things, especially if she's nervous. And for the most part, she's pretty good. She uses her own bones. We've trained her to chew her own bones. She doesn't chew furniture or shoes. Yeah. She's been great that way. But I had her down in the basement in the studio with me while I'm getting work done. And I hear this off in the corner.
Oh, God.
I go over there and look. Oh, I don't have it handy. I'd show you. It's so mangled up. But I had a copy of Arch Rivals from Konami for the Game Gear that I had out during our Game Gear discussion.
Right.
And she has chewed it beyond recognition. Oh, yeah.
This makes me so. Did you hold it and go, look what you did?
I said, look what you did. You're not going
to
get it.
And then go to price charting and go, look at this. Look how much this thing is worth.
Yep. And then I wouldn't let her eat that night. Just kidding. I fed her just like normal. She had no repercussions. Like normal.
Didn't punch her or nothing.
She knew she did something wrong because she got real low to the ground and stared at me from way up. She does that when she knows she's in trouble.
Can I eat your favorite game?
She's such a great dog, though. It's hard to be mad at her.
It's really tough because our dogs, they like our human stank. And so, first of all, they like chewing stuff. But then if it has your human stank on it, they want to chew it even more.
They want
to
chew your
stank. I have to keep all my controllers far, hidden.
Oh yeah,
because they'll smell the human stank and they'll be like, oh, this is good.
They think it's on the menu. They don't care. They don't follow the same rules we do.
The same rules. And plus, they don't know it. They don't know what dollar is. They don't know. They don't care. Dollar bill, whatever. Let me eat it.
No. Hey, tell me about those Star Fox prints you're doing. I've been excited about this.
Yeah, last week we talked about Star Fox, and as a result, at the end of the show, after the show, you may not have heard, but we drew three names from the Patreon. And by the way, you expect an email for a couple of you people, because I finally got them printed. I had a little bit of trouble, but once I got them printed, finished up today, we got Star Fox here.
Ooh.
And I primed him up. Yeah, he's nice little resin print there. Look at that guy.
Yeah.
He kind of has like a, he's kind of got like the Rocket Raccoon kind of vibe going on, right?
Yeah, he
does. Me see if I can get up close to him there. Let me see.
Very rockety raccoony.
Yeah, so if you can imagine, it's a resin print. He's standing there with his gun. He's got his big giant tail off to one side, and he's just awesome. I love that. I've already printed that for myself. I also got an AR wing, I got that printed up.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's even got a canopy, which I also printed and I need to buff out, and then it'll be crystal clear. And that's important because I also printed out, and your patrons, the ones we chose for this, are all going to get these. It's got four little tiny pilots you can put in there. And yes, it's all the ones that's the AR wing from the N64 version, I believe. You can barely see him there.
But yeah, because that's Stinky Rabbit or whatever his name is, right?
That's your Stinky Rabbit that you can see by his ears. This is what it looks like when it comes off the printer, by the way, Scott, if you care.
Oh,
got
yeah.
all this scaffolding and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I printed these guys out, and they're very pointy and sharp, so if you have kids, be careful if you get one of these.
They're
really pretty. I like them. And Audra painted one of them for me. Unfortunately, you have to paint your own. I'm not doing that far. You will have to paint them and send me pictures.
That reminds me, we screwed up last week and we didn't talk about a thing.
We didn't talk about a thing. What do we talk about?
A Star Fox thing.
Star Fox.
I always say Starcraft like a dumbass.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's what we didn't talk about. When Zippy Hare or whatever his name is. What's his name?
Yeah. Hopper Bunny Hopper.
When Hoppy Bunner, Bunny Hopper says,
Bunny Hopper.
When he says, do a barrel roll.
He's the one who actually says, do the barrel roll.
Yeah, when he says that, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Somebody did a chart of actual maneuvers you can do in air shows. One of them is called a barrel roll. What they have you do in that game is not a barrel roll. It's something else. I forgot the name of it, but it's this.
What is
thing.
Oh, is it? It's the spin around. I don't know. But you do a full 360 though, right?
Yeah, but it's definitely not a barrel roll. Barrel roll is more of a 3D figure eight, if that makes sense. So you go from one end to the barrel.
Yeah.
Imagine a barrel. You're inside a barrel, and you're up in a rear corner of that barrel. You go around the curvature of the barrel down to the other end, up again, and then over here, kind of in a big 3D eight. That's not our fault, right?
I mean, we didn't.
No, it's Nintendo's fault. What the frick? Bunny Hare, whatever his name is, he's a dumbass.
Bunny Hare is Peppy Hare, right? Or Peppy, Pepper? They call Pepper him Pepper. Hare. I think is his name.
Peppy.
Peppy the Pepper Hare. And also, I didn't show you last week. We talked about it. I got my Wii U Star Fox Zero, which comes with that. And also comes with Star Fox Guard. This is notoriously a terrible game because of the controls and the way you have to control them. You have to look at your Wii U screen and the TV at the same time. I've heard that you can actually switch that control set. So I'm going to test it out and see if I can do that or not. But I'm looking forward to this being a piece of crap. Also, just today.
Wait, you haven't played it yet? I was hoping you'd play it. I wanted to hear some game time.
It's brand new. Has it been open? You can order this thing brand new, Wii U, Star Fox Zero. They have tons of them on Amazon. It has the Amiibo support and everything.
You know why they have tons of them? Because it's a very, very bad video game.
It's a very, very bad video game. I don't care. $29.99. I ordered it. I got it in. I'm going to try it out. And I hopefully my Wii U will fire up, because I just read an article today. They were saying Wii U's that have not been turned on in a while may be bricked.
Oh,
so you might want to check it. I don't know what.
Because the store got pulled, dude. They don't have updates. So you might be horked.
Yeah, I hope not. I had mine on recently, like in the last year. So hopefully it won't be a deal. But
oh man. You're going to have to rebuy that game on a Switch 2 or some bullshit.
Oh, no. I'm still within the return window, my friend.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You got it on Amazon.
I'll have this thing back at Amazon tomorrow if that were the case. Yeah. Yes.
That's cool, though. I mean, the fact that you got it just makes you a completionist. I think that's good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I'm really enjoying printing these Star Fox retro prints and stuff. There's really a lot of cool Star Fox 3D prints. I tried to look for some Myst prints this week, and there's a lot of cool stuff there as well.
Oh, I bet people make the whole island and print.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Man. I actually downloaded a file for the switches.
Yeah.
Like the little podiums with the switches and stuff on from the first Myst.
Yeah.
I downloaded one of those. I want to make it work though. I want to blow it up a little bit and make it functional.
So make it function. Interesting. Are you going to get the horrible cart controls from the cart scene area? Because those look really dumb.
I can't wait. Oh, by the way, also while I was doing my research this week, it's just kind of adjacent. I didn't know this, but Bill Duran, Punished Props, did a video not long ago about the linking books. He made a linking book like a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, he talked about it on TMS at the time, and it was rad. It was so cool what he was doing with that thing.
So shout out to our good buddy, Bill Duran and Punished Props.
That's right. Bill Duran, Punished Props, everybody. Go check him out. All right. Well, there you have it. There's our update for the week. Now, let's talk about Myst.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. Back in 1993, you would have shoved something into your CD-ROM drive. It was a game called Myst, spelled with a Y instead of an I, and everybody was talking about it. All we knew were two brothers made it, and it was the tip of the spear that was multimedia gaming coming down the pipe.
Yes. It finally validated you as a gamer for getting a CD-ROM, right? Because things weren't cheap. They were brand new.
They were not cheap. They were whatever the opposite of cheap is. They were expensive. That's the word I'm looking for. That's the game. And here's what you would have been greeted to when you first plugged that thing in or plugged it into your drive.
I realized the moment I fell into the fissure that the book would not be destroyed as I had planned. It continued falling into that starry expanse of which I had only a fleeting glimpse. I've tried to speculate where it might have landed. I must admit, however, such conjecture is futile.
Okay, it's a lot of, that. He just sort of goes on. Yeah. One thing I will say about the entirety of the series, I'm serious about this, and it drives me crazy. From Myst 1 all the way through the 2005 Myst 4, or was that called Myst 4? Whatever it was.
Yeah, those Myst 4, correct.
Those games, all of them had terrible sound mixing where the dude's voice is drowned out by the music. It's just just bad sound mix. That's all. I want to say.
Are you including 4 or are you including just because the first 3 were kind of, I kind of consider them one generation, and then Myst 4 and 5 kind of went a little bit different.
They definitely did their own thing, but for some reason, all of them had a terrible mix on sound and by that, I just mean when there's a narrator or there's a guy talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Music overrides the voice and there's no way to control it. It's stupid.
Yeah. The first Myst was Scion Inc. That's the two brothers. That was their company. And it was just them two, and they were working from home, and they're filming themselves, and they're making the game at the same time. So you kind of expect that. But by the time they got to Myst 3, I didn't hear it as much. But I'm gonna say that you're probably right. When we got some Brad Dorff, and he's great.
Yeah, he's worm tongue. He's great.
Yeah. At this point, you might as well have some kind of good audio budget. But even then, you got to think about it. 93, how many of us even had sound cards that were worth a poo?
A lot of people did not. I did partly because of this game. At the time, it was upgrade time for me because I was like, well, wait, I want to see this do this. I wanted to get this. I had a single speed drive. I wanted the double speed.
Yes.
That was expensive. I wanted more RAM. And what else did I add? Oh, and then I had a new Creative Labs Sound Blaster something.
Okay. So were you PC at this point or were you still on the Mac?
No, I was definitely PC at this point.
Okay.
Because I worked for this company that sold PCs. I got a way good deal on everything, but it was still expensive as hell to deal with this whole thing. But man, it was the thing. It was the deal. If you were going to play anything that year and you had a computer that was capable, holy shit.
Multimedia was on everybody's lips. It's like, multimedia, what is this? A CD that'll hold more data than, it'll hold like how many floppies? We used to compare things to floppies.
It was always floppies at the time. I think, and then they got bigger capacity. But what was the original thing? It was like 500 or 600 megabytes or something.
Right. The original Myst 1 game.
Yeah. And not the game, but the capacity of the disc. How much were those?
Oh, yeah. I think there's always been like the 6 something, right? Wasn't that where the disc started out at, was 650?
I think so. Like in the 600 range, yeah. And that seemed impossibly huge at the time.
Right.
Like,
it did.
How is this even possible? And now it seems
stand around
stupid.
And go, this is bigger than my old hard drive.
Yeah. Now it's stupid. I'm about to put, when we're done with the show, I'm going to post a video to YouTube that is larger than like a whole stack of those. Like, Like, what? It's weird how that stuff changes, but
anyway. It is. It's awesome. But yeah, I was blown away too. Myst, the first game Myst was the only one I really ever played. I was aware of the others, but I didn't really play anything past the first one. And I, that was my first experience too. It's like, this was a showcase. If you had a new PC, this was the thing you loaded up. It was atmospheric. Yeah. It was so immersive, even though, you know, it was pre-rendered 3D. It was like, oh man, this is the future.
No, it felt like the future. It not only felt like the future, it just felt like it felt way above anything else I had seen in this regard.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the deal was, but back then, these days a new game comes out and you just expect it to kind of work because your PC can sort of, we're at the top of a curve, you know?
Right.
For a lot of people. I shouldn't say everybody. Obviously, some people got older machines, older video cards and stuff. But we also have ways of going into the settings and changing them so that they fit whatever your hardware is. But back then, a whole new release like this Ultima Underworld, Doom, Quake, these were games that all went, oh, time to get some hardware. Like, because it meant an upgrade. You couldn't scale very well with what you already had.
And that was the thing. That was what was pushing the hardware at that point in time. It still did for many years. It still kind of does a little bit today, but like you said, not nearly as much. I just went to Walmart the other day and I saw they had a PS5 on the shelf and I was like, oh, I should probably get that. And I was like, eh.
Yeah, you're like, I'll save that $600. I can do that. I can do that a different time. No, I get it. Real quick here. I was going to say, the pre-renderedness of it.
Yes.
At the time, you know, we had games that were point and click adventure games. That wasn't new. But this kind of world and this sort of visual presentation, absolutely new. Yeah. And
a serious game that you just didn't know what to expect because they never say on the face of it, like, you're going to die, you're not going to die. They didn't really put that out there. You just popped in. You're like, oh, this is seriously eerie and creepy. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the whole phase we went through with the Slender Man because the Slender Man was always super scary. Because you wasn't sure what he would do, but in reality, it was just the suspense that really made all the fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're also early in mouse time. Like the mouse is still relatively new. So this kind of interface is still sort of new. Not to Mac users, I understand, but you know, the PC world is really embracing
the hybrid card idea, which is what this was developed on, was unique to the Mac and it actually caused trouble trying to port this over to the PC, but the HyperCard, if you're not familiar with it, was just a piece of software that allowed you to, it was like a database that you could link things through and you could access things directly by clicking on it. Oh my God, what?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what the internet is.
I know. They invented the internet in 1993, even though it was about a year away before we get the real internet.
It was almost there.
So back to my point though, this was limiting in that, you know, this isn't a real time universe. We can't move around in the space yet, but something told me then, I remember in my heart of hearts going, we're heading here.
Yeah.
Like we're going to get to a place where this and better than this will be photorealistically real time flowing to me as I walk through it.
Yeah.
And it took a little time, but we got there the versions of Myst now that you can play in either VR or standard 2D that are fully 3D, walk around, do whatever you want. Those are like a weird like coming together of a dream we all had back in 93. Yeah. And it works. And it's amazing. Yeah. I highly recommend playing it that way, by the way. They're fun.
Yeah. It's wild too. And it's, you know, we have, I think we talked a little bit about this on the TMS, but Myst on VR, when I went back and played this original version on the Mister, by the way, it felt very much how I navigate in VR. I don't know if not all humans have developed the ability to walk everywhere in a game in VR because it gets nauseating. Like if you don't use teleport for a lot of people, including myself, it's really hard to deal with. This game feels like, even back then, it feels like you're teleporting to each spot because you click on a spot and you have this transition.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely
forward,
that.
Transition, move forward.
First time I did that in a VR game, I went, oh, this reminds me of Myst.
Exactly. It's very much reminiscent. Maybe, I don't know, maybe our brains will evolve to the point we want to do it.
There's a lot of stuff with real-time movement now that does not... I mean, none of it makes me sick, but I know people that do.
Right.
Kim gets really sick if it's not that. But one of the ways you alleviate that in VR is you put yourself in a cockpit or cage. So
there you go.
Mech games, for example, or car games, or anything where there's like a structure around you.
Right.
That weird feeling goes away. It's just like, oh, okay, now I'm in a construct, and therefore I can move in this world and I'm safe or something, your brain says. I don't know.
It might be also the field of view and different things as well, because I can play some games and I have no problems, you know, just using the joystick and moving around naturally. But then stuff like Minecraft, oh, I've never wanted to throw up more than playing Minecraft. I've played tons of other games that I move around similar to Minecraft, but Minecraft, for some reason, I don't know if it's because they kind of fiddle with that field of view anyway. It's like one of the primary settings you have.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
By the way, I did a little digging while we were talking about CD-ROMs, and I found something interesting. Oh. I didn't know this. Earliest theoretical work on optical disk storage was done by independent researchers in the United States, including David Paul Gregg and James Russell. In particular, let's see, Gregg's patents were used as the basis for the laser disk specification that was co-developed between MCA and Philips after MCA purchased Gregg's patents. Anyway, that was back in... 65,
dude. You had the laser disc run rampant there for a minute if you were in the right fields.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Anyway, maximum capacity on a CD-ROM at the time we're talking about, the Mist era, we're talking about 553 to 900 megabytes, depending on your use case. So some of that you can compress and get away with it. And some not. Then they doubled that.
Plus the way the table of contents works, I believe, and as well as error correction. They had to balance some stuff. You have error correction on CDs too, so you may have double data in certain sectors. That's the reason why you can scratch it and still use it.
Yeah. Dude, what a weird time.
What a weird technology, right? But man, Mist and I mean point and click games. I played plenty of point and click games that were 2D, but being first person and solving environmental puzzles that forwarded a pretty, some ways it's a very shallow story, but in other ways it's gripping. Mm-hmm. It really kind of grips your imagination of these ages and different. Right now I'm watching this guy on the Mist video. They're flying around the island of Mist. Mm-hmm. I never got off the island of Mist, or whatever the island's called. It's not called Mist, but is it called? What's it called?
No, the island is called, it's not called Mist.
It's not called Mist. I always called it Misty.
I assume Mist. Okay, so here's something I didn't find in any of the data. There was they briefly kind of mentioned it in some of the documentary stuff, but the why is for mystery, right?
Yeah. And they thought it sounded cool. And so they,
it is cool.
So it was Mist Island.
Was it Mist Island? Are you sure, Shane?
Maybe. Okay.
Okay. No one ever talks about it in these docs, and we're supposed to assume it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you haven't ever played any Mist, basically every place that you're exploring, and you'll learn this pretty early on in the series, I think they're called Ages, and each one of them is written by, is written into existence. And so you're exploring these, and you're trying to figure out who you should help. Mm-hmm. With these two brothers who are, you know, both locked up apparently.
Gorillas should make a new game called Cracker Island.
Cracker Island, which is great, right?
Named after their new album. And then just have a bunch of weird gorillas shit happening on an island. I'd play that game. I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
Right. How good were you at the Mist puzzles, Scott? Were you
terrible at them? Awful. Yeah. I'm a terrible puzzle person anyway. Like I'm okay with certain logic puzzles that aren't the point of this game was to be really obtuse and obscure. It's like, well, wait a minute. These don't mean anything to me. So you had to do a bunch of reading and then you got to find the right page. Oh, okay. This references the thing. Like there was a lot of work involved in solving Mist puzzles. Whereas if you give me a game,
it's a mystery.
Yeah. No. But if you give me a game where it's like, there's five items in here, figure out how these five items work to make this room go away or whatever it is. I can do that with just trial and error and I'm okay there. But when it came to this, terrible. I had to play this with Kim or whoever it was at the time. Somebody had to sit with me and say, no, push that, click that. On the other hand, my daughter is a freaking queen at the puzzle. She could do puzzles. She could play Mist tomorrow and just like, you know, beat the game.
Beat the game.
Yeah. She would do it, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. But yeah, so that kept me from beating it the first time.
Right.
I think I just got stuck or something and then moved on to Doom 2 or whatever the hell came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, which had a lot less puzzles to worry about. It was find the blue key. Hey, I can do that.
Right, yeah, that's right. There's a lot fewer puzzles. Holy Moses. Yeah. Right, but it was still an environmental room puzzle kind of stuff you had to get through.
Sure. Yeah,
I heard two people tell, I heard like two different types of opinions. Well, three on this game this past week as I played it. Somewhere people like were, oh, I loved Myst. Some people have said, I've never seen this before. Is this some kind of, reminds me like an escape room kind of a thing where you're trying to escape? I'm like, oh, that's because of environmental puzzles.
Kind of, yeah.
Very similar to that.
Sure.
And then I heard one person say it wasn't a game at all. And I was like, what? So
what do they mean?
Pushback on a lot of these, a lot of exploration games, whether they, if there's no death, which there's no death in this game, right?
You can't die.
There is some instances that you can fail out of the game.
Yeah.
Like you just won't be able to complete it. But they're very rare. And it reminds me when we talked about our, was it the Outrun? Which game was it? It was kind of more like just a, it wasn't really a race game. It was just against time.
Oh, Outrun, The boss is the timer. Yeah, because you never wipe out or crash. Crash, but it just eats time is all it does.
Yeah. Some people just don't think that if there's not like some kind of death penalty or some type of absolute wipeout, that it's not a game. This is just, it's this exploration. It's not a game at all.
I understand that. There are people now that do this. I'm in the middle of playing a fairly modern game called Deliver Us the Moon. And right. In Deliver Us the Moon, it's a big, beautiful 3D world and stuff, but you can die, but you just kind of come back and try again.
Right.
And it's mostly these kinds of puzzles, similar stuff. It's in a lot of ways, it owes itself to the legacy of something like Myst. Mm-hmm. But it's not considered, by some, don't consider it a game. They consider it a walking simulator or a Dear Esther. Did you ever play that? It's like that.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And I get it. I think I get it. And I think I understand.
I think I get it too, but I don't necessarily agree with it. But I do, I kind of get it. Because there was a point in my life where too, I'm like, oh, is this even a game? I mean, I'm really just kind of, you know, just doing one thing and it's not really, there's no penalty for it.
Oh, you can go down.
Where's the suspense?
You can go down a rabbit hole. I'm going to show you something, Brian. It's going to blow your mind. Chat room, you'll see this.
Oh, you're blowing mine?
Yeah, watch this. So, people at home won't be able to see this, obviously, because you're listening to just audio, but I'm going to show you a game that I have on my phone. It is called, where is it?
It's called Pissed.
Is it called? No, it's called, oh man, I should know this. I don't know the name of it, so I can't search for it because I've seen too many damn icons. Hold on. I'm going to find it. It's really here, and this is important to the discussion, I think.
Right, right. So we've been discussing what is a game, what is not a game.
Oh, here it is. I found it. Okay. So it's called Amazing Loot. And this is the game. I'll fire it up here. It's loading, made in Unity. Okay. Just one dude made this. Here's what you do in this game. While we wait for the main screen. There we go. As you can see, I don't know where the camera is. You can see I've got loot up there in the little squares, and they are color coded like you do in a Diablo or World of Warcraft or something, you know, RPG. Down at the bottom, you have a treasure chest, and you tap the treasure chest, and it opens up and gives you some loot. This is crap, so I'm going to sell it. Boop. I open it again. Same thing. Crap, let's sell it. Now, once in a while, I get lucky, and it'll be a better item than what I've got equipped, and I can swap that out and then sell the piece I'm getting rid of. The point is, this game is literally tapping a thing and relooting this treasure chest over and over and over until it gives me better stuff, so my numbers go up, and eventually I get better stuff. I get a better set.
Is it an idler, or do you get better stuff?
No, you got to tap it, select it, tap it. Basically, what they did is they took a game like any kind of RPG where it's loot-driven. Let's say Diablo is an example. They boiled down the entirety of what Diablo is down to its most core mechanic, which is I want to break open a thing to get some cool shit out of it. And that's all the game is. So when you play a game like this, you realize, how many video games are just a whole lot of fluff built around that?
Right. How much of it is a walking simulator with with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to like, you don't want to go too far down that road or you will be very disillusioned with how video games work. Cause in a lot of ways it is just our brain's desire to see numbers go up, to see things get better, to see things improve, whatever that metric is. And I played this to death.
Yes.
And I say played it. I didn't do anything. I clicked this thing. It said, oh, that's better. That's worse. That's better. That's worse. But the draw was still there as if I was clicking monsters and finding out how much shit they had on them. Yeah. And if that sword was better or not. Like, it's the same brain centers that are stimulated. So, yes, you could argue that this is a... You could go outside and do a scavenger hunt and build basically the Myst experience the way your brain likes it. That's what Myst is. And they're not wrong. It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Don't look too closely at the Matrix.
No, no, don't. Cause you'll be sad. You'll be real sad.
You'll be sad.
You won't be sad. Yes. Cause you'll still crave it. You'll still want it. And, and things like theme and story and character and all this stuff matters. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying that what you think games are aren't exactly what you think games are. You might think.
I think games are anything that compel me to return. And I think Myst compels me to keep going because it's like, oh, I just want to see what that next thing is. It's kind of like you're clicking on that loot box going, oh, I just want to see what that next thing is.
And yeah.
Click it, click, click.
Yeah.
Click.
No, I mean, there's definitely a feeling of like, I need to see.
Yeah.
If it's a story, I need to see the end of the story. If it's a character arc, I need to see where this person goes. If it's loot, I need to get to the next place. And it's just the work that has to be done is I've got to go through these halls. I got to kill these four dudes. And then I got to pick up the shit they dropped on the floor. But it's really just the process of getting there doesn't matter. It's just that we're getting there. So now, I don't know. It's weird.
Scott, are you red or blue?
This
Myst first game kind of blew me away. I forgot that there's a red-blue contingent where you have to decide which brother you're going to collect pages for, right?
My memory is, it's hard to say, probably red at the time.
Right.
And that, nothing to do with pills, nothing to do with political affiliations. It was just, I thought red was a cool color, so that's probably why I picked it. I think
it's funny because of course I relate everything, you know, usually a lot of times red can be, you know, anger and you usually think of bad and blue seems cool and relaxed and peaceful. And so of course I always went with the blue.
It does seem,
but
cool.
You know, you like to destroy everything. So what you going to do? So you picked which brother was that one? I'm trying to remember which brother.
I don't remember. That's the problem is I don't remember the brothers' names.
Yeah, there's one that was Rand Miller and Robin Miller. I think Rand was the programmer. He was more logical-minded, whereas Robin was more the artist, and they both picked up their own little areas. And they both kind of crossed over a little bit on both, but they each had their own little lanes they stuck with, and they did it really well.
Yeah, it was a successful adventure that they would then parlay into this.
God, you've returned. I need your help. There's a great deal of history that you should know.
All right, so it's a lot of that. He's going to just mumbo jumbo his way to your heart.
Mumbo. There's one of our brothers again. And the other brother I might be there is making the music too, I believe. I believe Robin was making the music as well.
Yeah, I think all the music was musician. In both games, right?
Until later. Yeah, first two, yes.
Yeah, first two anyway. The second one was also a very small, those two guys doing their thing. But it did feature an innovation graphically, which some of you may just have seen. But there's a whole bunch of like really cool little animated things, but some of the rotations are animated. So you get to like a doorway and turn left instead of a hard cut left. You'll kind of rotate over into the left, made it feel a little bit more like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
And I think Riven's the superior game.
Absolutely. I think Riven is. Yeah. The first one was kind of, it was kind of just, the puzzles didn't seem like they made as much sense, whereas here we got a lot of themes and we dug in deep with those themes. And this is just a superior game, which is good because they grew, they learned things, and they made them a little better.
I liked it a lot. I remember thinking this was a huge jump, and it was in time. Even 1997, this is 4 years.
Yeah,
it's a long time between releases. And Also kind of a risky marketing move to call it Riven.
I thought that was pretty dumb. And anyway, a lot of times you see it referenced on the internet is Riven colon the sequel to Myst. Well, I'm like, just call it.
Call it Myst 2 Myst, colon
Myst
Riven.
Colon Riven.
Yeah. Riven colon. Yeah, no, exactly. But everything improved. Like the art was better. The 3D quality of these, you know, these are still snapshots essentially, but they looked so much better.
Yeah, I think we were still like 8-bit computers when the first Myst came out, and we were only talking 256 color palettes. Here we are in 97. We've got deeper palettes, you know, and it's just going to be a lot better. I think also they had mentioned in several documentaries I listened to. The first time they did them, they were rendering like I can't remember which application they were using, 3D application, but this one they had moved up to the SGI type rendering. So. Yeah. It definitely was much nicer.
And it was a huge jump. Like, look right here. We have an actual animated bit of this. I remember this in the game. I remember this happening in Riven and me going, what?
Yeah, it's so wild, man. And there's such a – and this game works in what's called ages. So you have all this – it's very appropriate if you ask me because they have all these mixed technologies, mm-hmm. which I love. And this kind of reminds me of what like BioShock and all those kind of games – later would kind of
thematically very similar. You're right,
thematically. Yeah,
I also say that I think this is these games basically you boil them down to them being mystery boxes. And
that's a good way to do it.
You know, there's games like this too, but the Glass Onion movie, they had those boxes they sent around to everybody. Oh my gosh, this roller coaster part, totally forgot about this.
The roller coaster is so cool. I would love to see this in VR, like the roller coaster. Oh,
I think there is isn't there a Riven VR project, or maybe I'm thinking of something.
I'm hoping it, regardless of if it's true or not. I even got the freaking iOS Myst game as well. So I mean,
I would play through Riven in a VR. I would do that tomorrow.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's get on there, the Cyan.
Where are we going? Come on, Miller Brothers. Let's get on it.
Get on there. That's Miller time. Make that happen. Anyway, this is a direct sequel, and it's similar in its gameplay style, controls, visual presentation, and that sort of thing. But it's a series of, you know, it's the same thing with these series of computer-generated stills, but everything feels so much more alive and so much more real to me. But this is the game I recommend. This is the one I tell people to play if they're going to pick up the old game to play.
And they've got like actual like blue screen. So like in the first one, you had QuickTime movies.
Yeah.
That were usually contained with the little books and stuff. So you'd only see videos like in little square thumbnails, which was just a QuickTime movie embedded in what they were doing. But then in this one, they used blue screen. So you have like you got characters off in the distance who may be walking or doing something. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much more immersive. It's still pre-rendered graphics and you're still first person. But it's much more immersive. This is the way to go if you're going back to visit this.
Yep, I agree. I think it holds up like crazy. Yeah. And there is a version of this that's like enhanced, or at least it's been modded to be widescreen and all that.
There's like we could do a whole episode on all the different versions of Myst and Riven. There has been remade so many times in so many different ways with so many different engines. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's pretty hard actually for me to get that original experience. I had to dig kind of deep. And I ended up installing Scum VM on my Mister so that I could play from one of the original ROMs that were on PC. I could not emulate it. I could not emulate the Mac version.
Right.
Which I did watch some videos of it and I was like, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hold on though. The Scum engine supports, because this isn't the Scum engine.
Correct.
It wasn't written in it.
Correct. No, it's not. What they did, they merged the Scum engine with another engine that allowed them to do the 3D rendering stuff.
So yeah,
most Scum has typically been a 2D point and click.
Right.
But they merged the project. What's the name of the other thing? I can't remember. It's on Good Old Games. I picked the whole thing up on Good Old Games.
It's still Scum. It's still Scum, like, but the U is spelled with a Y. So now it's Scum with a Y.
Right.
Just kidding.
I think it's Residual or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember exactly. I think it was a Presto engine. They basically, because in the next one we're going to talk about, Presto Studios made, they kind of, even though they didn't need to, they tried to recreate Myst in the same ways. So people were able to plug this stuff into that, and all of it kind of works it just works.
Well, my
that engine.
Oh, I still have this stupid Matrix on here. Hold on. Here we go.
Yeah.
Wait, are you gaming on a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
I was going to say, this is where things kind of get weird for me, because I never played 3 because everyone told me it wasn't as good, and it was because the brothers weren't involved. They got out.
Yeah, this went to Presto Studios. I don't think they didn't get out because it's like, ah, oh, that's it, we're out. I think they were working on other things, too. They were working on the novels, and they were working on, you know, just getting their, you know, the Cyan Ink running. By the way, you can still go. They're still around. You can go to their website. They got a store. And I'm like, oh, my God.
These guys do. What's the yeah. name of the website? What is it?
I think it's cyaninc.com. Wait, don't click on that yet. Let me look it up here. But or Cyan Worlds or something like that. Oh, it's a Cyan. So Cyan. And you can go to their games. By the way, they had one not that long ago.
Are they .com or what are they? Yeah, it is .com.
It's a .com, believe it or not. How the world they got cyan.com.
Well, they probably got it way back.
Were there early on. Yeah, they just got it.
Oh, this is great. I remember Myst Online. That was a hot booger for a minute.
Yeah, hot booger for a minute.
When was
but
that?
But you can order.
That was, Uru was the game.
Yeah.
But it was really just Myst Online. Right. In fact, they called it Myst Online, Uru. And is it live again? It's on. You can play this now?
Apparently. Like what? I said, they're way more active than I thought. I thought we was looking at a dead company. When I started this research, I was like, oh, yeah. They got bought out, and I thought I knew all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they got bought out by Ubisoft that one time, and I was all wrong. I was all wrong.
I don't even know what to say about that. That's absolutely blowing my mind. Right. Their other game, Abduction, or Obduction.
With the O, so it's Abduction with the O, yes.
I played that years ago. It's also now on VR platforms. Right. That game was rad. Like, that game felt like, ooh, the Cyan brothers, or I guess the Miller brothers.
Miller.
Have finally realized the what they were aiming for the whole time. It's very good. If you guys haven't played that, you should take time and play it. I forgot what year that came out. Sometime in the PS4 era.
2019, 2017, something like that.
17, 16, something.
Something like that.
Anyway, worth checking out. Yeah, that website's great. Look at all that stuff. And look at that Myst Island back there.
It's almost like they made it with a HyperCard or something. It's
weird. Hypercard strikes again. Okay, so here's a little bit of 3.
I realized as our group linked back to Dunny that we should not restore the city as we had planned. The once magnificent buildings lay in ruin, testament to the hatred that had consumed them. Too many people had fallen victim to that hate.
Once again, it's like, the music's great, but I can't hear you, buddy.
Yeah.
This one's a little louder, tuned, I guess, but... That's still him, though, right? In 3? Is that him still playing the part?
I think didn't Rand come back, but I'm not sure if Robin did or not. I'm trying to remember. Like I said, I watched a butt ton of interviews. These guys have had so many interviews. It's amazing. Go to YouTube and look these guys up. Mm. It's so fun to listen to them talk. They do interviews together as well as solo. It's just so good. But this was moved on to Presto Studios in... I think it was like a call out to the different developers to you know kind of pitch what they would do and how they would do it, and Presto won out, and I think they stuck to what it, you know, they stuck to it. So I think they stuck. It felt like a Myst game to me. It felt like the Miller brothers were still involved.
It's a Myst game for sure, but I feel like it's a Myst opportunity. It didn't feel as deep to me. I thought 3
there, wasn't it 3 novels out by this point, I believe. So, I mean, there was so much material to work with.
That's true. One thing about it is this one definitely feels like a big step forward in the way that VR feels when you're talking about teleporting. Because this is still stills, but you can move all around in real time in these spaces before you move forward or look at everything. You can look at anything in the room.
Yeah. So it's a 360-degree rendered.
Right.
And so whatever position you're in, you can look around, and then you move to the next step, and it renders that screen next.
It's pretty badass. I like it.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I like it.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's a nice step in the right direction.
Yeah. The story is odd. It's like the story feels mystical, but it doesn't really feel necessarily deep.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to kind of live in the world a little bit, and I kind of want to read a little, at least one of the books. I don't know how great they're going to be, but
how are they regarded? Do people like those books?
I feel like people like them pretty good, but it's not like, I think it even cracked into the bestsellers list for like a little bit. I think the first one did. But yeah, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, it's kind of like when we talk about Firefly.
Yeah.
Me and you talk about Firefly and we love Firefly. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But if you try to get outside our group,
That's a good point. I mean, it may not fit.
Does anybody really know about this stuff?
So Mist, the Book of Atrus cover, hardcover, is about $50 right now. This came out in 95. Oh, yeah. So just a couple years after the first game. And it's reviewed really well. Like,
yeah,
people like it. Let's see what someone says here. Great coming of age book.
Yeah.
A Prelude to Mist. Loved it. Great story. Great condition. Oh, they mean when they bought it. Received in great condition. I don't care about that. This guy says questionable condition. Anyway. Right. I mean, I'm just sort of like mildly curious about what a book like this reads like.
Yeah. I am too. But once again, I think it's, I don't know. I'm kind of interested, but I don't know.
Do you want to hear the opening?
How can I get into the Mist world?
Do you want to hear the opening words here?
Check it out. Oh my God. Yes. Is it, I fell through a fissure and something, something, something.
No. Postage stamp size video, all that. No, it's not that. It says prologue. Gen's footprints lay heavily on the ground. The tiny pool, the lush, well-tendered green churned to mud. At one end of the garden beneath a narrow outcrop, he had dug a shallow grave.
Oh okay. No.
That's all I got there.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Let's read it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like I kind of always want to get into these. I've had bad experiences, I guess. I'm always wanting to get in. Like, I know the Halo series stuff is supposed to be really good.
Some of those books are good. The Halo books.
Yeah. I know. And I'm like, oh.
Warhammer books, pretty good. The Horus Heresy, good. Very good stuff. Some of the Warcraft books are very good. Yeah. It's weird because we always think of video game to movie translations are the worst, or they're the ones that struggle the most.
Right.
I sometimes feel like video game to book adaptation sucks. Or it's hard because I have to take it seriously, right? So I have to read one of those and go, oh yeah, I'm really into the Master Chief doing a lot of personal business here. It, from a game where he just shoots shit all day. Like it's hard. It's really hard for me sometimes to get into that headspace and not and try to put it out of my head that this is based on a much simpler property. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So you're saying like you wouldn't watch something like that was on the New York Times bestseller list, like, I don't know, Spare with Mario and Luigi or something, you know, kind of a
Spare. Why would it be called Spare? Why?
Because the Duke of Sussex, Prince Harry's got his book out there in the top list. So I was just, you know, thought maybe that might be a, how about Walk the Blue Line or Walk the Luigi Line or something?
Luigi's book would be called Luigi's, or it would be called The Death Stare. Why my time in Mario Kart almost killed me or something.
There you go.
I want to make up a bunch of fake like biographies of characters from video games that would be based on their hard time. That. Yeah. From the New York Times bestselling author, Luigi Mario, who, because I think, didn't they confirm that his name is Luigi Mario and Mario's Mario?
Yes,
Mario?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And he could talk about how his brother was always hiding in that mansion. He couldn't find him. He could talk about how
Mario.
He's always just going, oh, I don't know if I want to be as cool as my brother. Like, what a shitty existence.
Or would you rather have like a tell-all book, like Never Give an Inch?
Yeah, dude. Right. Sign me up. Sign me up for this. I want to read it. All right. We outside of the retro Mist, you got things like Mist 4 Revelation came out in 2004. By then, Ubisoft was the publisher. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah. And they were still doing pre-rendered graphics. Very, very ballsy, if you ask me, in 2004.
I agree. They didn't need to be doing that in 2004, but they did. They had some 3D effects for stuff, but where things got really interesting was Mist 5. Cyan Worlds back at it. And it's Mist 5 End of Ages. That was a year later, and this is how they describe it. In a departure from the previous titles in the Myst series, End of Ages replaces pre-rendered environments with worlds rendered in real-time 3D graphics, allowing the player to freely navigate the ages. The faces of the actors were digitally mapped onto three-dimensional character models to preserve realism. That's what they said. The game also includes multiple methods of navigation and an in-game camera. And a pretty rough time for that stuff. It didn't look great.
Right. Well, I mean, you're talking about, Myst came along and it was pushing technology. By the time we get to 4 and 5, it's kind of because they wanted to keep some of the spirit of the original. It was kind of lost the spirit of, being cutting edge. Right. So it kind of lost that part of it.
And Beyond Myst, by the way, Ages Beyond Myst or Uru was an MMO. The goal was like, hey, tons of people in here all doing shit.
Yeah.
And we're going to be like the best thing since EverQuest. This is pre-World of Warcraft. This is, kind of a weird time for MMOs. I think maybe Star Wars Galaxies was out at this time. Right. But
it's a good idea. Because
it was a great idea, but so many worlds. It did not go well. It was a poop.
Yeah, it was a big poop show. But yeah, it was a great idea. I mean, because you got this huge possibility of, of all these ages, which are just multi-dimensions, right? Mm-hmm. But written into living. Yeah. So it's a good concept. I like it. It's very D&D, which, by the way, I learned a lot of stuff about this past week, that how they play tested this stuff. And I was thinking about you and play testing all your card things you do.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they originally tried to figure out some of the, what direction they want to go in with Myst, is they basically made it a tabletop D&D kind of session with some of the guys. And they played it that way to see what worked, didn't work, just from the game mechanics.
That would make sense. Sure.
Started rendering 3D stuff.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, that's a really good point. In a lot of, we always think of our straight RPGs as the successor to tabletop D&D, and that's true.
Right.
But this kind of storytelling is much more akin to what like a DM would be doing to really throw his group off. Like,
right.
You enter this space. There are these things around. You've got to decide what to do. Like that's the D&D experience. And in a way, or in a lot of ways, it sounds like they agree. Myst is that.
That's crazy. You got to start there anyway, right?
Yeah, so that's crazy. Sense. Oh my gosh,
Oh my god, my favorite thing this past week though was watching Brad Dourif do his acting on blue screen.
Yeah,
because you're like the first time you see him, he's busting up your crap and stealing one of the books or jumping into one of the books the way he's actually, he was stealing a book, but he jumps into the books, gets one of the ages, and he takes off and you have to chase him and he keeps looking back.
Oh, he's still back there.
Cause you click a screen and then the animation would start up but reading about him, talk about his time, Child's Play, by the way, is where
he does Chucky
and Brad Dourif. He's those stuff too.
Oh, he's in so many, dude. He's freaking, he's Worm Tongue in Lord of the Rings. He's Doc, what's his name on Deadwood? He's great. Dude. Yeah,
he's great.
You're right. You know him as Chucky for sure.
Right. But he said it was difficult doing this as opposed to doing movies, because he's doing this is early on, obviously. He's since then probably experienced it many times with CG, but trying to act against actors who weren't there, because you're a player, but you don't have a name, right? You're nobody.
Well, here I'm gonna play him. You want to hear him a little bit?
I think you're doing three.
Hello, actress. Been long. Time. Sorry I'm not there to greet you in person, but I just didn't think it would be wise considering how long I've been stuck here.
Okay, so that's interesting because 3 was what year? That was
2001.
So they're about to he's about to be Worm Tongue.
Yeah, won't be long now.
No, he's real close.
So this is where he got his experience at, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Cuckoo's Nest. He was great on that. He's great on everything. Oh, yeah. Brad Dourif is a national treasure, ladies and gentlemen. And he did some cheeseball bullshit video game voices.
Do you know how many? Just one more trivia thing before we get. Because I was blown away by this. Ooh, now, the first game was just the brothers.
Yeah.
The second one, they brought in some more people.
Of course.
And by the time you get to the third, you're really kind of working with a whole team, pretty big team. But by the time Myst 4 came about, Myst had proven itself. Mm-hmm. It was the number one best-selling game for like over a decade until Sims came along and took that. And in Myst 4, they had like 80 employees working on this thing, development team, pre-rendering stuff.
Yeah.
It just ballooned up.
Yep.
it's just so crazy.
Yeah,
and then they had like more employees after that as well. After they went after a certain phase, they even hired more employees.
What do you think they're doing now? You think they got a whole group again doing stuff? Or
oh no, Cyan themselves. No, since Myst 4 was developed at Ubisoft, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, but these guys, they're probably still a small team. Probably let's see what the company says. You can read about the company here. Got careers too. We'll get some career jobs here.
Let's hire.
Yeah, it looks like there may be like, you know, a handful of people who work there. So that's good. Yeah, it looks like a few people. I want to see what these careers are though. Let me see what they got open over here. Open positions, job shadow. I can be a shadow. Internship policy. I guess I don't get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but their location here is based in Spokane. Yeah, that's a nice little building. I like that. Wonder if you have to. Or if you prove yourself by figuring out some puzzles before you get into the front door.
You know what they should do? This is what they should do.
What's that?
They should branch out. So they got Cyan. They make the Myst games.
Right.
They need another company to make 2D platformers. Call that Magenta.
Right.
Then you're going to go make VR first-person shooters. Call that Yellow. And finally, you're going to make some, I don't know, wrestling games. Call that Key. That
there
way
you go.
You've got all CYMK. You got the entire color model span.
Right.
And this is how far I go for bad jokes. All right, moving on. we should mention there's this parody called Pissed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know anything about this until somebody brought it up this past week.
It's kind of hard to find, honestly. I couldn't find even videos. There's not even a lot of video or anything of this thing.
Yeah, there's not. But it is just the idea that that the game was frustrating. And so, of course, you're going to be pissed. So that was the whole
Yeah, because you're going to be pissed the whole time. It's made by Parody Interactive, and it's a parody of Myst. Yeah. If you can find it, good luck.
I saw some clips from it. Just like some still shots and stuff. And there's like a guy, I think he's in a hot tub or something, doesn't have a shirt on. So, you know, it's just full on just.
Well, yeah, he's pissed. Just
being crazy.
He's maybe pissed, pissed in the hot tub. I don't know. I know a guy that did that once. He was in.
Oh, okay. No. Was it you?
No. I'm in my 20s. I'm at a party. I'm not in the hot tub. I'm like eating a something off to the side, eating some snacks. And some dude who's drinking a lot is in the hot tub, and in the hot tub is him, his buddy, and like four girls all in bikinis in this little hot tub. Real person soup business going on over there. And he just suddenly goes, and everybody went, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I just took a piss in this hot tub." And that thing cleared out so fast. Those girls screamed and just piled out of there. And his friend punched him in the arm really hard. It was great. I wasn't in there, so I have to deal with it.
Like, as if there wasn't nasty enough in there as it is already.
I know. And he gets out and he has the gall to say, "Well, it's what the chlorine's for. It's supposed to take care of that." And I'm like, "That ain't how it works, dude.
That's not how it works."
I mean, it is, but you're not supposed to pee more to take
it. Right, you're not supposed to challenge it.
No, don't challenge it. What are you thinking?
That's like the last line of defense, not a challenge.
Try not to challenge it. All right, here's a challenge right here.
Destroy it.
Time for us to play a little game with each other. All right. It's nothing like Myst, it turns out. It's trying to guess each other's game. We brought some audio. We play the audio. People guess. Chat room says Choplifter over and over. And then we find out what the actual answer
is. Probably what it's going to be this time, right?
Exactly.
Wow. By the way, is that right?
What?
No, that's somebody else. Is that maybe Cyan has 265 employees?
Oh, that's a lot.
Is that right? Is that good?
That's not bad.
I said a handful. I lied.
That's more than a handful.
Huge, apparently.
Yeah. That's a size D.
41 employees, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of information.
Terrible.
Tell me about the thing, though.
All right, here you go. So I'm going to play this audio. This is from a game from 2000. It is on the PC.
The PC?
You know, the personal computer.
Yeah, and I had one of those one time.
And the only other hint I will give you is that this is Westwood Studios. That may or may not help you.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. So here you go. You get three questions. I'll answer all three. If you don't get it, them's the rules. You lose. If you get it, you win. Here we go.
For the personal computer, Westwood Studios.
We're probably this freaking what's his name?
You've all been cursed.
What's his name with the bees in his mouth? I can't think of his name.
Oh, you're talking about
Candyman. We're about to get Candyman.
Oh, Candyman. Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
Here's some sounds. All right, any guesses?
Is that the Emperor getting zapped? Is he zapping Darth Vader?
No, you're using your zap powers, though. That may give you a hint. Let's say that it is... Well, okay, you ask me. Give me your big three.
Okay. Here goes the three questions. Yeah. Is it... let's see, 2000 PC. Is it...
Never went anywhere else.
Is it first person?
It is not. And I will tell you, since you asked if it's first person, I'll say no, it is three-quarter top down.
Okay. Top down. Are there loot boxes?
There are no loot boxes by today's standards, but there are treasure chests and things.
Okay.
Yeah. That's your second question. You got one more.
Did you say Hell Satan?
Let me try it again. Hold on.
Well, you know, it's not like Diablo, but it feels like a Diablo-like.
Okay, that is a fair assessment, and I don't count that as a question. So you still have one more question,
though. I don't remember what it was.
I loved it. At least I think I did. Yeah. I'm not sure if I went back. I'd love it or not, but I played the shit out of it.
Is this related to a well-known intellectual property like Lord of the Rings or something?
No.
Okay. So it's their own little story.
Yep.
All right. But I have no idea. I can certainly envision it's probably dark. It's three-quarter top-down.
Sort of dark.
Lady, witch lady?
Sort of dark, but it's also... The story is you're a kid who gets sucked into this fantasy world. You're just watching TV and hanging out at your house. And you get sucked into a fantasy world that plays like Diablo, but the story the whole time is like, I don't know what I'm doing here. This is stupid. This is weird. Oh, wow. young soul, you must be the one. You've come to save the land or whatever. The game is called Nox. N-O-X.
Nox.
Yep.
N-O-X. That sounds familiar. I don't think I ever played it, though.
And it played like Diablo. Nox. A combo of Diablo 1 and 2. I think Diablo 2 was coming out or had just come out. And somebody got totally my jam.
Oh, I think I've seen this cover art before, but I never played it.
Yeah, I did. Every time Westwood did something cool, I was like rooting for him.
Yeah, I like Westwood.
Yeah, I was rooting for him because Blizzard was just eating their lunch on most of their games. Yeah. It was like, oh, we got Command & Conquer. God. And then Blizzard's like, oh, yeah, we got Warcraft. Ah, shit. We have Nox. Okay. We have Diablo. Like, there's that whole thing going on, and I always rooted for Westwood, but it's a cool little game. I liked it at the time. I don't know if it holds up now. Probably not. If I had to guess, it would probably.
You know what's hilarious?
Yeah.
I had no idea what you were playing.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah.
Mine is, I failed, by the way. You can play the loser sound if you want to.
Oh, I don't have a good one. Well, I have this one.
Okay.
Let's do this one. Whoops, not that. Hold on. This one. All right.
Mine was also Westwood Studios.
Oh, really?
2001.
Yeah.
PC.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'm going to play it.
We are obviously on the same page this week.
That's wild. We didn't plan that.
That is wild. We didn't plan at all. And yeah, and Scott doesn't let me see or hear his clips or anything. Mm-hmm. And I think you actually posted yours well before I did.
I did. I did a day before. And then
you would not have heard mine.
Yeah. And I don't even play yours until now. All I do is right click save, and then I save it until I play it. So here we go. Let's hear this Westwood game.
Training. Unit ready.
Oh.
He has taught us well. Guns are too messy.
Unit ready.
Okay. Is this a Command & Conquer game? My first question.
Yes.
Okay.
Turn me loose.
It's very Russian. That tells me. Is this Tiberian Sun?
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
Okay, that's my second question.
I understand. Learning the path.
Is it Red Alert?
No.
Shit!
It kind of is, though. It's kind of, right?
Is this the one where it's third person shootery thing?
It's the expansion.
Oh, the expansion for Red Alert?
Yeah, it's the Yuri's Revenge.
Oh, shit. Does that count? It still counts if I say
I think that counts. I think it still counts.
Dude, I loved those games.
But I only played once Yuri's Revenge came out. So I consider it to be its own thing, even though I know Red Alert, but I didn't play it. I had gotten both at the same time. So that was how I
we should probably play or we should probably do an episode on those games, or Westwood in general, right, or something. I don't know. I don't know the best way to do that, because Westwood's basically dead, and all I have is memories of their great games. They had an MMO that was in space called, help me, chat. You guys will know this. It was before WoW, or maybe right around the time. Was it Jumpgate? No.
Jumpgate.
Earth and Beyond.
Oh, Earth and Beyond.
I loved that game. I was so excited because I just thought, well, this is the more accessible. Because at the time, I think it was like 03-ish, and we already had, I can't think of names today. What's wrong with me? What's the one made over in Iceland? Freaking.
Oh.
Eve Online.
Eve Online
already existed, and this came out, and I went, oh, this is like an accessible Eve Online. This is like a more get-in, get-out kind of game. This is more my speed these days. Let's do this.
Right.
And I got in, and I got completely freaking hooked on that thing. It really was EverQuest in space, but it just didn't get the traction.
My friends were really big into Command & Conquer, and they wanted me to play the multiplayer stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, am I going to go out and buy all the crap? Yes, okay, fine, I'll go buy the crap.
Did you buy all the crap?
I bought all the crap, and I played with them.
And how did that go? Did you have a good time?
They beat me like senselessly, as they usually did.
I was also very bad at Command & Conquer. I played pretty good in the campaigns and like single player skirmish stuff, but against people, I sucked. I was not good.
Not good.
They made a game called, hold on here, let's see. So Command & Conquer, is it Renegade? Yeah. Ooh. In 2002, they made a game called Renegade. And it was a third person shooter thing.
Let me see here.
And I thought it was rad.
Oh, that's way cool.
At the time. Is that the game I'm thinking of?
Oh my God, this looks like trash. I love it.
It did not receive very good reviews.
Look at this. It's trash. I love it. I want to play it.
It had some problems, but it had ideas, and I was super into it. Was it FPS, first person? Okay, I can't remember.
I don't know, but I love the cover art.
Oh, yeah, the cover, that guy? Look at him.
Yeah, the guy.
He's like,
it's fantastic.
I'm pissed. I'm a guy.
I'm pissed. I'm a little angry.
Neither of us win today. We tried.
Oh.
That's okay. We can't all be winners, Brian. We can't all be winners. That's the way I look at it. But I know that we have this to do.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Phone calls, emails, all that stuff. We're going to start with an email this week. This is at playretroshow@gmail.com. Comes from Pullman, Washington, and Dwayne Games is who is writing it.
Oh, Dwayne Games.
It's Dwayne Games. Says this, Dear Play Retro, I think you have previously discussed the Atari 50th Anniversary Collection.
Yes.
One of the new games on there is a vector mashup called Vector Sector, which is spelled VCTRSCTR. He says, it is the Gorf of vector games, and it is glorious. Yeah. Each wave of the games consists of a level of asteroids, a level of lunar lander, a battle zone-inspired level of on a linear track, a level of Tempest, and it's so much more. Thanks, Dwayne Games. Oh. I need to check that shit out.
Yeah, I'm watching a little video clip right now. It looks pretty cool.
I love that stuff.
Lunar lander looks bad.
Was this new, though? Like...
It's part of the a new game for the Atari 50. So yeah, I guess it's.
I didn't know they put new stuff on there.
I didn't either. Now we know.
Let me take a look at this here. Videos.
Oh God, I love that. That looks awesome.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm playing this. I love every game he mentioned. I love Lunar Lander.
Yeah.
So what? You just kind of like Gorf was. He's right about the Gorf comparison. Oh, look at this.
Oh, look how you transition between the... Did you see the transitions?
Yes.
Those are way cool.
All right, I'm playing this.
Yeah, that looks pretty
cool. I'm buying the 50. Why haven't I done that yet?
Why haven't we bought the 50 yet?
I want to watch the documentary part of it, too. I think that's part of it. I have to get my brain ready to, like, learn, you know? anyway, there's an email. How about this? This is a text from a listener. We got one to the phone number 801-471-0462, and the person is Rick. He is Transformer Card on Twitter. Here's what he said.
Rick.
Hello, Play Retro. Even though I am loving the show, I would like to suggest that you cover the Sega Saturn. I was a Sega guy in a small town and went all in on Saturn. Hey, how about this? Listen to this. No, not that. Yeah. You like that? That means your Saturn's ready to go.
Taking me back.
Anyways, it says it was the first console I truly felt delivered the arcade experience at home, especially with the Capcom fighters. And I recently reacquired one and found that there is a thriving community and major plug-and-play upgrades for it. X-Men, Children of the Atom for the win, says Rick. I'm a huge Saturn boy. I loved mine.
Yeah, I'm a huge Saturn. I never had one back in the day, and I actually picked up one this past year, and I played it a little bit. And I need to get back to it. It's definitely something I want to get back to.
Yeah, it's great. The Saturn's awesome. I loved mine. I was sad that it didn't get the, you know, the longevity that I'd hoped. Same thing goes for the Dreamcast. But the Saturn in particular was just like, I don't know, it was like just a bigger badass. It's like the Genesis, but then on every steroid you could feed it.
Yeah.
And its 2D capabilities were unmatched. Its 3D stuff, PlayStation had an advantage, barely.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, big fan of that device, and I wish I still had mine. And I thought the controller was awesome. It was all edgy.
Yeah, I liked the controller. Matter of fact, I liked it so much, I ordered this little controller right here. This is a wireless one that plugs right into the front of it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that just the Genesis one, though?
This is six-button Genesis.
No, this is the Sega Saturn controller. Oh, you're talking about the 3D controller?
No, not the big pizza slice. I thought it had more edges and like hard edges on it. Hold on, Saturn controller. Maybe I'm just remembering wrong.
It's kind of got some, you know, hard edges, but not.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, this is whatever that is must be a.
Oh yeah, it's basically shaped the same. I have a real one back there as well.
Here, hold on. I'll show you this, and you'll be like, "Oh, right," because this is. I don't know if they changed it. They may have changed it, and that wireless thing you have may just be like, "Hey, we're Genesis and Saturn." I don't know, but here you go. Look at this. Look at how edgy that is. Look at that, chat. You see that?
Oh, I never. Well, mine's not quite that. This is the real one that came with.
Oh yeah, yours Sega isn't Saturn. Like that either. What is that about?
I don't know.
Maybe it was first gen or something weird.
I don't know. Maybe so.
I liked all this hard edge stuff on it.
Yeah, I like the hard edge. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Anyway, Saturn's great, and best version of what's it called? Best version of Bomberman ever is on that thing. And I liked Bomberman so much, I kept the music.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah,
that's right. We played that on here not that long ago. Yeah.
I love that version of Bomberman. So good. Easily the best Bomberman ever made. And you SNES Bomberman 2 people, Super Bomberman 2, F off. I'm telling you. This is a better game. Saturn game is so good. 10 players, dude.
Love it.
You could play 10 people on there.
Insane. That is crazy.
I only had 6 controllers, so I couldn't. No, what did I have? Yeah, it's I had 6 at one point. I feel like I spent all my money on stupid controllers back in the day.
You probably did. I still do. I love my controllers. Controller is life.
Yeah, controller is life. I agree with you there. Hey, let's remind people if they want to send us those texts or voicemails, you can send that to 801-471-0462. Or you can email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. Our next game is going to be Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yes, he also had a Pocket Tales. We'll talk a little bit of that as well.
Do you know why, though? Because this is a controversial title.
It really is. I mean, I knew it had attitude, but man, after reading a little bit about it, I'm like, oh, it's got more than attitude. Mm-hmm. And it's not the only attitude squirrel I've met along the way. It's weird. I didn't know.
It is weird, right? Most squirrels I've met are kind of attitude-y, little dicks.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll be next week. I mean, we will talk about Pocket Tales, Bad Fur Day. All that stuff. So get into it. Don't worry. We'll get back to some arcade stuff soon. You know, we just mix it up. It's all just a mishmash of what we're feeling right now.
That's right.
Do you know Diddy? He was part of Diddy Kong Racing because it was a rare title.
They didn't have a game for him yet. He was in Diddy Kong before it even hit.
Yeah, that was really weird. I thought that was they should have called that Rare Racers or something.
Yes, they probably did. Rare did a lot of stuff.
Somebody probably had that idea and it got shot down in a meeting. Who knows? But yeah, anyway, that'll be next week. Conker's Bad Fur Day and all the Conker business. In the meantime, we would love it. And I mean this because we got to pay the bills somehow. We would love it if you joined us on Patreon. Here's the good news. You will never hear an ad if you join our Patreon ever. No commercials of any kind. You'll get none of them except for this one where I tell you about the Patreon. You get pre-show content every week, other monthly benefits. It's all there. It's super easy to get into, and it means so much to us that you do it. Huge thanks to everybody who has joined us, especially a recent joiner, September McCrady.
What?
Oh, in March. I love that.
9 of 12. Think the world of her. That's very nice of her. Yes. If you want to be like September or any of our other cool patrons, sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. Brian, I think that's it. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to this discussion that we've had here today?
If you want to watch me be freaked out, just tune in 6 p.m. Thursday. And when I play bad. No, it's like going to be a Friday this week. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, you'll play Friday. Okay. Friday. That's cool. Friday. I'm also continuing my playthrough, speaking of scary things, of Dead Space with my daughter. We're going to pick that up again on Friday
morning.
That was
so much fun. You should watch the VOD if you haven't watched that.
Or Friday afternoon. So it'll be perfect. It'll be before you do your stuff.
Perfect.
And then, and I'm also playing this. Give us the moon, or deliver us the moon, which I
like that. I played a little bit of
it
a while back myself.
That game's cool, man. It's cool. It's a walking simulator, but it's cool.
Yeah. So,
what'd you say? What is it?
Was it on the Game Pass at some point or something?
Oh, I don't know. I'm playing it on Steam. I had a code forever ago and I forgot about it.
Maybe so.
They just released Deliver Us Mars or Deliver Mars or Deliver Us Mars.
Deliver Us Mars. Now, Mars.
Anyway, if that sounds interesting, check it out right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/frogpants. That's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. We'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Sirius did not feel as fast and blow as he planned.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.